the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Welcome to the program. Doing research even during the break. This is what we do here on the program. Thanks for joining us. Time to get things going. Yet another hour of the Bucket Strategy Investing program is just ahead. Brain Trust is here with me, Johnny Dean, in the form of Professor Rick Plum. We're standing by once again to help you with your money issues, helping to answer your money questions. Whatever they may be, you ask them, we will answer them here on the show. We've got strategies, we've got solutions, all that stuff is headed your way. You can take part in all this. You just give us a call right now. We got some folks on hold. We're going to take the calls immediately. But if you're not on hold and you got a question, 877-PLANNER, that's our number, 877-752-6637. A couple of lines open for you right now. You can also find us online, our website, Wealth, W-E-A-L-T-H, wealthed.com. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to get to us via email, you head right there at WealthEd. Go to the link where it says find your answer. You can easily take it from there. We make it very simple for you. WealthEd, that's your resource for many of the topics that we talk about on this program. So once again, our number in studio, 877-PLANNER. We do talk strategy on this show. We talk bucket strategy investing. But I'd suggest this, if you don't have a strategy, you should get one. It's never a good idea to put your retirement funds at risk. We talked about that last hour. All the risks that you could possibly have. You can't cover all of them, but you can certainly be prepared for what might come down the line. Call Professor Plum or any of the Lucia Capital Group Brain Trust Advisors at their off-air number, 800-644-1150. Talk to them. They'll look at what you've got. They can help design a bucket strategy that could be tailored to meet your specific goals and needs. Are your goals being met? Well, if not, or if you're not sure about anything that's in your retirement plan, give us a call right here. Brain Trust will tell you if you're on the right track. Off the air again, 800-644-1150. On the air, that's the important number right now. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. A lot of stuff to talk about, emails and all that coming up, but we'll get started with some folks on hold, but hanging on during the top of the hour news, so we appreciate that. We're going to start off with Frank this hour in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hi, Frank.
Hi, how are you?
Great. What's happening?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
I have an older mother. She's 86, and she was 62 when my dad died. My dad was 2 weeks shy of his 70th birthday, and he was self-employed. He was a doctor, and when she filed for Social Security, I remember only getting a partial benefit. Did she get a short change, do you think?
No, because she applied for a benefit before she hit her full retirement age. Her full retirement age at that time was probably 65, but because she took the benefit at 62,
right,
it's reduced. It probably was about 25 or 30% reduced benefit from what your father had been receiving.
Well, my dad never received anything.
Okay, then it was 25 or 30% reduced from what he would have received if he had applied just before, because at 70 he would have applied anyway. And so he was, deferring his benefit. He got an increase. So she didn't get what he would have received at 70. She got a reduced benefit because she wasn't full retirement age. And unfortunately, that probably has been affected the whole time. I mean, she didn't work out. She didn't have her own benefit.
No, she raised 11 of us.
Wow.
She had a job like nobody else's, but it just didn't earn her a Social Security benefit.
Right, the 10 of us were boys.
Oh, wow. Even harder.
So once they had a girl, they said, no more. This is too much work?
No. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, she would have reduced
it. In Ray's old neighborhood in South Philadelphia.
Okay. Going down to the bakery, Termini's Bakery, and then go to Federal Bakery and get some pretzels. Ooh, sounds good to me.
Oh, absolutely. Yep, we know the Termini's. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, that sounds good. Now I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Now, those pretzels were so good, too. The pretzels down to the Federal Bakery. But it's a matter of she received a lesser benefit than what your father had earned because she took it before full retirement age.
So if my dad would have lived two more weeks and would have filed,
no,
she would have gotten a lot bigger benefit then.
Nope, right? Not at all. It's the same benefit. If he had started receiving the benefit and then died the next day, because she...
Right.
It's still the same benefit. Maybe it was 1 month short. Instead of 70 years old, he got a benefit based on 69 years and 11 months. But because right. she was under full retirement age, she was only 62. It was reduced, maybe 20, 25%. I don't know the exact number for somebody who had a full retirement right. age of 65. So it was not the full benefit, but it was a reduced benefit at that time. It still would be a reasonable benefit. Not, it just wouldn't be as big as what Dad would have received on his own.
And the irony is, since he was self-employed, he paid, you know, double. You know,
he paid both sides.
The normal amount.
Yes, he did. And I mean, we all pay FICA when we have a job, and our employer pays an equal amount in FICA towards our ultimate benefits. So, unfortunately, depending upon I don't know how you can check it now, but she did receive a lesser benefit than Dad would have received if Dad had applied for it at that time. Now, this was also long before the 2000 time horizon, where we didn't have the file and suspend option back then. And plus, she was only just now turning 60, or she was only turning 62 at that time anyway. But yeah, if he had applied, he would have gotten X. And the fact that he died in the month or the month before he turned 70, the survivor benefit was still based on what he would have received the month he died. But because Mom was under full retirement age when she applied for it, she got a lesser amount. If she had waited until her age 65 to apply for the widow's benefit, she would have gotten the same number as Dad would have gotten.
Okay, I understand.
Okay.
I appreciate all the things you guys do. You do a great job.
Thank you, Frank, for the call, and I appreciate you bringing that up. So explain for people who are just tuning in what the issue was with his dad.
Well, his dad was self-employed, so he was paying the self-employment tax, which, as Frank rightly pointed out, is double the FICA tax that an employee pays. But there's still the same amount of tax being paid. It's just being split between the employee and the employer.
Which in a self-employed case is the same person.
Self-employed has both sides of it, so they pay the double side. But what happens is with the survivor benefit. The survivor benefit is based on what the worker was receiving when they passed away, or what they if they were over 65 or 66 now, what they would, but they were deferring it, they would have received. It's based on what they would have received if they had started receiving it in the month they died. But that's what it's based on. Now, once we figure out what the baseline is for the survivor benefit, now we go back to the surviving spouse. How old is the surviving spouse when they apply? They're not allowed to apply until at least age 60. But at age 60, or at any age under the spouse's full retirement age, it's a reduced benefit. We first figure out what the benefit will be, and then we'll reduce it based on the survivor's age at start.
The now figuring what the benefit will be is based on either what the full retirement age of the person who passed away if they weren't receiving it yet.
Yeah, if they were not receiving it, it's based on the full retirement age benefit basically. If they're under full retirement age when they die.
Yes.
Or the amount that it would have been in the month that they died.
Yeah,
if they had applied for it then.
If they were 67, 68,
right.
whatever
between,
it is, 70.
Yeah, between full retirement age and 70.
Yeah, so, and then it's based on that. Now, if the person who passed away had been taking Social Security at the time.
Right, so let's say somebody starts at 63, mm-hmm. 64, 65. That becomes the basis of determining. So if you apply for your Social Security benefit at 64, or let's say 63, you take about a 20% haircut in your benefit. So instead of receiving $2,000 a month, you're receiving $1,600 a month. And then unfortunately you die and your spouse is 60 years old and they apply for a survivor benefit.
Because they need it.
It's reduced again because the survivor is well under full retirement age.
It's reduced for a survivor less than it would be for a retirement benefit,
but
it's still reduced.
Yeah, and another 28.5%.
So you call it 30% off the top of that 1,600. You're now talking about another $500
A big it's a big drop. Now, there's a very small caveat. If you take your benefit between 62 and 63 and 3 months, then it goes up slightly for the survivor before it's reduced for their age. It's a weird system. Worst case, don't go in there.
I wasn't
Most
going
of the
to.
Time, it's going to go down. The survivor benefit is equal to, if your full retirement age or older, or less if you're under full retirement age.
Which is why, and we said this in another
hour. Because it's going to be paid out longer.
No. I'm saying which is why you need to think about these issues when you're taking Social Security. It's not just how long you're going to live, although that does play a role. It's how long your spouse is going to live. If you've got a spouse who's a lot younger than you, especially, 10 years, 12 years younger in some cases.
Well, Frank's case, it was 8 years difference.
8 years difference in this particular case. Well, his dad's...
His dad was almost 70 and his mom was 62.
Right, exactly. So there's a much higher likelihood that that spouse will not only outlive you, but live quite a bit longer than you.
So Frank's dad postponing until 70, even though he never got a dime from it. Mom's 86 now. She's been receiving it for a long time. It actually helped him waiting.
It helped him a lot. Now, I don't know whether they intended that
or not. It helped her a lot.
It helped her. It didn't help him. Well, you know, maybe he's happy somewhere. I hope so. Okay, great stuff. Lines open. We just got all the lines open. Couple people hung up, so now's a great time to call 877-PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, Brain Trust, coming right back. Market Strategy Investing, we're here for you, answering your money questions. We got a little bit of room on the phones. In fact, the lines are open right now, 877-PLANNER. Ask your money question. Brain Trust here, standing by, ready to help you out with whatever money issue that you have. That's our job. We take it very seriously on this program. So any money question that you have, you ask us about it. We will answer it for you on this program. We're also going to do it in person. You should keep this in mind, that this Saturday will be the next workshop in Phoenix, Arizona. If you're listening in Phoenix, Scottsdale, and I'm going to say once again, all the way out to Yuma, anywhere within that, what mile radius is that? Draw a circle around. Got to be
about 160 miles.
Yeah, at least. Come see us in Phoenix/Scottsdale, Saturday, March 12th. Brain Trust, Professor Plum, Terry Keyes, and the local advisors. Meet them, learn all about retirement income strategies. That's what you get at these workshops. So Phoenix this Saturday, Portland, Oregon the following Saturday, that's not too far away, March 19th, and then Saturday morning, April 9th, Houston, Texas. So Phoenix, Portland, and Houston, there will be more after that. You ask where? Well, you got to go to wealthed.com. That's where you sign up for any one of those, and you can find out where else the Brain Trust is going to be through April, etc. Wealthed.com. It's all free. Just click on the live events tab. That's where it is, live events, and just say you're going to be there. Put your name in, whatever, and you will be signed up. It's all free. Are you looking up how
far? It's about 195 miles.
195?
So within a 200-mile radius, I'll be driving through Yuma to get there, so you might as well join me.
Okay, I was guessing 150. 190 miles, that's fine. That's right. You're driving much farther than that.
Yes.
Are you not?
Well, an extra 140 miles.
Right, exactly. So, Professor can be there that far, I think you can too. So draw a circle, take Scottsdale, do one of those protractors, and I would say it's required attendance if you're anywhere in that area.
And yes, I'm driving, but I do enjoy the drive, especially across the warm desert floor, top down, just listen to the wind blowing. It's going to be a fun drive.
And you're hoping not to hear the sounds of sirens.
Sirens.
Yes. Isn't that a Simon and Garfunkel song, The Sounds of Sirens? I think it is. Anyway, yeah, you want to avoid that.
Some trips are better than others. I have heard those. I haven't heard the sirens. I've never really pushed it that hard where they're coming after me with sirens.
But you've seen the lights.
But I've seen the light.
Okay, there you go.
I've seen the light.
There you go. Todd Rundgren, listening to that. Okay, 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER, wealthed.com, our website if you want to send us an email. I want to get caught up again on some of these emails. We'll do some more. We'll do them here and then some more toward the end of the show. Mead in Fairfield, Pennsylvania. If I'm saying that correctly, I have two Roth IRAs and two regular IRAs, made a $6,500 contribution to my Roth for 2015. As we have some income in the 25% bracket, I would like to change the contribution to my regular IRA. It'll save us over $2,000 in tax. Does it matter which Roth I take the $6,500 out of? Does it have to be the one I put the contribution in this year, or does it matter? Thank you.
Well, first off, I'd want to make sure that you actually can deduct it. You don't have a retirement plan at work or something that would preclude you from being able to deduct the contribution to the traditional IRA. But it has to come out of the one you put the money into, because they do a calculation, because it's not just taking the $6,500 out and putting it into the other account. It's the $6,500 plus whatever that amount has grown to, or unfortunately lost down to, is being redone. It's going to be, they want to treat it as if the contribution had originally been made to the traditional IRA. So they're going to make it look just like it had been made over here first instead of this short stop in the Roth IRA. So there's a formula. They look at the value just before the contribution and the value just after the contribution as a percentage, and they undo that percentage of the IRA. Well, if you're looking at the second IRA, what was the value just before it? What was the value just after it? It's the same value. So you can't undo an IRA contribution that wasn't made over here. You have to undo the one that it came from.
There's your answer. All right, Mead, hope that helps you out. 877-PLANNER. We'll get some more of your phone calls. And once again, if you want to email us, you go to our website, wealthed.com. Let's move down to Bob in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi, Bob.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Great. What's happening?
It's starting to warm up a bit. I have a question. First off, I wanted to thank you guys for what you do. It's fantastic. This show is so cool.
Well, we appreciate that. Thanks, Bob.
You're a godsend to people. My question is, sir, I've been on Social Security disability for the last 7 years. I suffered a spinal injury in a car accident 7 years ago.
Okay.
And I'm getting $1,423 a month. And 100 of that goes for my Medicare, my insurance.
Right.
Now, my wife is employed. She's 5 years younger than me. I just turned 60 in November. My question is, what should I do? Just when I turn 62, I wanted to retire. Should I retire at 62 or just continue getting the disability pay I'm getting? And if I do retire, will my pay stay the same, the pay rate, or will it increase or decrease?
When you say you want to retire, are you working right now?
No. I'm unable to.
I was going
to
say. So it's all a matter of the benefit, and you do not want to take a retirement benefit at 62 because a retirement benefit at 62 is a reduced benefit from what you're already receiving. So
I see.
Given the situation, your disability will continue until your full retirement age of 66, and so your benefit will continue just like it is all the way through basically the rest of your life. Because it's not a reduced benefit, it's a disability benefit. The retirement benefit, sure, if you take it early, would be a reduced benefit. So you're just going to keep getting your $1,400 a month plus whatever cost of living allowance is adjusted to over time. And at 66, the name of the benefit will change from a disability benefit to a retirement benefit. The amount won't change. Just, you know, the accounting ledger of which trust fund they're taking it out of changes. But and the characteristics of what you can and cannot earn if you were to get a job and things like that, those change. But the benefit itself doesn't change. And you do not want to change to a retirement benefit early. Retirement benefits are reduced if you take them early. Disability is not.
Okay, great. Yeah, I was born in 1955, so.
Okay, so.
Hopefully there'll be some money left in the pot.
It'll be there.
It'll be there. I wouldn't worry
even
about that at all.
Even if the accounting ledger that they're calling the so-called trust fund goes to zero, they will still make your payment.
It can go negative, Bob, and they can still make 100% of the payments. Don't listen to these people. They're trying to scare you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Bless you so much. Thank you.
Bob, thank you for the call. Thank you. Boy, tough. That's 7 years
already.
Of disability. So this is what happens with a disability payment once you hit full retirement age.
Right. They basically are paying you your retirement benefit at the time of your disability based on the formula at that time. And it's not reduced because you're taking it early. And so it will continue that fashion until such time as you get to full retirement age, and it changes its classification from a disability benefit to a retirement benefit, but it's the same amount. It doesn't change other than cost of living allowances. Whereas a retirement benefit at 62 is reduced, a disability benefit is not. And so if you can swing it, obviously, if you become somehow work away from your disability and you're no longer disabled, that's probably a better option than staying on disability. But the disability benefit is better than an early retirement benefit.
It is. And as far as Bob being concerned about them going away once again,
it'll be there.
It'll be there. The scare tactics to try to take more taxes from people or whatever it is, to try to tell you that we can't afford it, we're running out of money. It's impossible, but they're going to tell you they are. Bob, don't worry about it. 877-PLANNER. Kishore, if I'm saying that name right, in Dublin, California. We will get to your question next after the break. Still two lines open, 877-PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. We're coming right back. Answering your money questions, we got some folks on hold. We will continue to take calls till the top of the hour, so get on board with your money questions. A lot of great questions still to come, and some topics that we're going to cover here sometime between now and the top of the hour, if we have time. We'll get to your emails as well, and in a little while we're going to get to some trivia and tell you what's coming up on tomorrow's program. So, a lot of things to go over. Going to get back right now to the phone lines, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Let's go next, as I said, to Kishore in Dublin, California. Hi, Kishore.
Hi, good morning, guys, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have learned a lot listening to your show every day. So the question I have is, I am actually converting my traditional IRA, which has a lot of non-deductible basis, into a Roth IRA. And okay. I also have an existing Roth IRA. So do you see any pros and cons of mixing these two or keeping them separate? Because I know that it's easy to recharacterize it back, as I was reading a little bit online.
Yes.
But any other caveats or any other pros or cons I should be aware of?
I don't know of any reason why you would keep them separate other than the ease of recharacterizing a specific conversion within the period of time rather than looking at the entire Roth world that you have. Other than that, I don't see any reason to keep them separate.
So I could keep it maybe separate for next year until my taxes are filed, and then I could merge them, right?
Well, you can do it all the way up until October 15th. Remember, you can undo a Roth conversion up until October 15th of the year following the year of conversion. So if you wanted to keep it as a separate account until then, keep it as a separate account. Then once you get past the October 15th following year deadline, you could commingle it with anything else because now you can't be undone, and it's all just part of your Roth.
Okay, so if I convert now, then I have until October 15 of 2017.
Yes.
And then maybe mix those together.
Right. And then
okay.
And people will say, but you've got contributions, you've got converted principal. All they're looking at is an accounting ledger at that point. They don't care which. When it comes to a distribution, if you were to ever take a distribution, they don't look at it as which account is the distribution coming from. It's coming from an accounting ledger of, do we have any contributions left in it? Do we have any converted principal in there that was more than 5 years old? And then and it doesn't matter which account it comes out of when they're doing that. The only time it matters which account it's coming out of is if we're undoing a specific conversion. Then it makes it easier to undo that specific conversion. But that only lasts for, like I said, up to October 15th of the year following. So once you get past that, it's okay to put them all together.
And when you merge these two accounts, then I don't need to worry about having to sell the securities to merge them, right?
So you can transfer them in kind from point A to point B as long as both will allow the same type of investment. There are some... You know, if you use certain brokerage companies, they have proprietary funds where you can only own them through their brokerage. So as long as you're not trying to move a proprietary fund, then it's no big deal.
Okay. But at the time of conversion, it has to be done all cash?
No, conversions don't have to be cash. Contributions have to be cash. But if I had a stock in my traditional IRA that happens to be down quite a bit right now because of what the market's done to it since last July, I may say, well, I want to convert that stock. I don't have to sell that stock, transfer cash, and then rebuy the stock. I can just instruct my IRA custodian to send that stock, those number of shares, from point A to point B over to my Roth IRA, and they'll do an electronic transfer of the shares to my Roth IRA. That will be a conversion. It's based on the value and the day that it happens as far as what my taxable event is.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
Good. Okay, thank you, Kishore. Yeah, that's one of the things that people forget or don't know. Congress didn't know this, that you don't have to take it in cash. You just simply have to report it as income, but you could leave it alone.
Right, same thing with the required minimum distribution. Required minimum distributions don't have to be taken in cash.
Exactly.
They can be taken in security form. I mean, it just becomes a taxable event. That's
right. Just report it. Now
Congress
it's already now it's post-tax once you pay tax on it. Okay, 877-PLANNER. Let's move along to Jack in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi, Jack.
Hi.
What's up?
Thanks for taking my call. I listened to you guys quite a bit, and I've always wanted to call, and I finally got up enough nerve. But my
well,
question
thank
is
you.
This. I took early retirement at age 62 because I was advised if you didn't take it, you'd have to live to 74 to mathematically make it pay off.
Longer than that.
Well, but what my real problem is, I get a very reduced Social Security because I retired from the military, and I also retired from PERS, and they say I come under some kind of a windfall.
Right. The PERS is what's doing it, not the military, the PERS.
Okay. Well, the PERS, the thing is, they said now, or I hear, just hearsay, I don't really know anything, but had I waited till I was 65 to draw my pension, I would have completed something like, I figure, 30 years of paying into Social Security, and there would be no windfall. Is that right?
Well, if you had continued to work, and you continued to work at what they consider substantial earnings rates, and you have 30 years of substantial earnings, then you are not subject to the windfall elimination provision. But if you stopped at 62, then the impact of the windfall elimination provision is not that great. It's not the full impact anyway. The impact is felt, the full impact is felt if you have less than 21 years. You have 20 years or fewer in the Social Security system, and the impact is phased out when you have more than 20 years up till age 30. Once you have 30 years, there is no windfall elimination provision. So if you had continued working at a level that was considered substantial earnings at that time, and you'd finished 30 years worth of earnings of substantial earnings in Social Security, then there would have been no impact of the windfall elimination provision. So your benefit would have gone up for two reasons. One, less of an impact from windfall elimination provision. Two, not taking it early, and therefore it's going to grow just from the fact that it wasn't discounted. So it is what it is. How old are you now?
80.
Okay, there's nothing you can do about it now.
Yeah, I should have, when I took it at 62, I should have got another job where I paid into Social Security till I reached 65, and hopefully that probably would have put me at the 30-year bracket.
Yeah, so the reality is if you retired at 62, you took a 20% haircut on your Social Security after the impact of the windfall elimination provision, but the impact of the windfall elimination provision was not a huge number because you were 60% through the phase out already, so you were not impacted as much as others.
Oh, okay.
You got that going for you.
Yeah, well, it's just a reduced rate, and when I hear what other people are getting and what I'm getting, it seems like chump change.
Well, it can be, but you know, Jack, when you were 62, did you not expect to live to 80, or I guess it was.
I don't know, but I just appreciate you taking my call. But
and Jack,
I'd like to give somebody a little advice if they listen to the show that. And they are in the same situation I am. They should look into that windfall before they even try to draw their.
Jack, when you're comparing your benefit to their benefit, don't forget to include your PERS benefit with theirs too. Say, look at I'm only receiving $800 a month from Social Security, but I'm getting another $3,000 from PERS, and you're only getting $2,000 from Social Security. So I'm still ahead of the game.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little bit ahead. But I got another question now. My sister, she was out of work at 62, and she took hers early. And she lives in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Okay.
And now she's been working the last 16 years at a GSA job, you know, like at a pretty high GSA level. But she's at a reduced Social Security because she took it back then. There's nothing she could do, I suppose, is there?
Well, she's part of FERS. She's working for the federal government, and she's part of the Federal Employees Retirement System. She is paying into Social Security, so every year that she's paying into it, they're reevaluating her benefit and increasing it with this new job until the point where she has 35 really good years of earnings, and then she'll max it out.
What I should do is try to tell her to listen to your station sometime.
I'd appreciate that.
Sure, that would help us tremendously.
I wonder what the station would be in Fredericksburg, the radio station.
Well, if
wealthed.com online.
Listen online. That'll work, too. We had one in Fredericksburg. I don't know. I apologize. I'm not sure which station it is. But out there near Lake.
Thanks for taking my call.
I'm
going to listen to your station now and get off the air.
All right. Well, thank
thanks
you, Jack.
Thanks for calling.
Appreciate the call. 877-PLANNER, our number. Yeah, he was regretting, I guess, taking Social Security at 62. He's 80 now.
Yeah.
So it's obviously long gone.
Right. I mean, and he could have worked a couple more years and added to his substantial earning years, which, I mean, like I said, it would have made his benefit larger because of two reasons. One was he didn't take it early and it wouldn't have been reduced. Second one would have had he had more years of substantial earnings, less impact of the windfall elimination. But it doesn't sound like it's affected him that much. He still sounds like he's doing just fine.
No, if the windfall elimination were not to be in place, it would mean that he doesn't have his PERS, his pension.
Right. So he's got his PERS pension. That's nice.
Right. So his
public employee retirement system.
Correct. Now, and you can argue the fairness of
fair
windfall elimination.
Fair is just such a horrible word because nothing is fair.
I still don't understand the whole idea of windfall elimination provision. I mean, I understand how it works. I think it's a crock, frankly. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, it affected Jack. It doesn't affect him a lot. But, I mean, give me a break. Come on. What, do you think a few hundred bucks a month off of somebody's Social Security benefit is going to matter? It'll matter to the recipient, for crying out loud. Okay, 877-PLANNER. Steve, hold on. You'll be next in Honolulu. Question on annuities and the fees. We're going to talk to you about that when we come back. 877-PLANNER, our number, trivia, phone calls, and some of your emails on Bucket Strategy Investing when we return. Don't go away. A lot of folks on hold and not a lot of time, so we will get to everybody right here. 877-PLANNER, got some emails to get to, so just to be patient. A little bit of time, as I said, but a lot of folks on hold. 877-PLANNER, let's move along. Steve, next up. Thanks for hanging on, Steve, in Honolulu. How can we help you today?
Yeah, hi. I just got a question on taxes. I'm getting my taxes ready for next year.
Yes.
And I've always deducted expenses involved in my investments, like investment publications and the sort. I'm wondering, can I deduct the fees that are in my annuity that are taken out annually?
Well, let me ask you this.
Riders?
So you have a variable annuity or an index annuity that has a rider fee on it?
A variable annuity with a guaranteed rider.
Let me ask you this. Do you pay taxes on that money that is being used to pay those fees?
No.
And the answer is no, you can't deduct it either.
Okay. Sweet and simple.
Yeah. You never paid taxes on the money. You're actually using the money inside the annuity to pay a fee on your behalf with non-deductible money, with non-taxable
right.
money. And since you never paid taxes on it in the first place, you don't get to deduct it in the second place.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, good.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you, Steve. That can be confusing, too.
Well,
and I can see that.
Most of the time, we don't get it on the news, but we do get it on questions of an asset management fee. Broker charges them 1%.
Right.
And if it's on my personal account and I pay it, that can be an investment expense that is potentially deductible on my Schedule A.
But
and
they the IRA.
Well, what about the IRA? Well, you didn't pay it. The IRA paid it. And the IRA paid it with money that you were never taxed on, so they're not going to give you the tax deduction on that when you didn't pay the taxes in the first place.
Well, you got the you got the deduction by putting it into the IRA.
Right.
And you took 100% of, you know,
and
whatever
you were using,
goes in there.
And you were using the money that was in the IRA to pay a fee without ever paying taxes on the money that you're using to pay the fee.
It's already been deducted.
Yes.
And so that fee will not be taxed. I mean, it's going to be missing when the money comes out of the IRA. It'll be less the fee, so there won't be any tax on it.
Yeah, so
that way. Missing money isn't taxed.
Bottom line is not deductible.
Right, exactly. Okay, great questions. Thanks very much, Steve. Let's go to Sergio, Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi, Sergio.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I got a question basically regarding my Social Security retirement. I'm 60 years old. I was full-time employment in the hotel industry till 2005. Since then, I've been self-employed, and I haven't contributed to Social Security since 2005. I paid all my taxes and according to all my income and stuff. So
you're showing yourself as a self-employed individual, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Are you showing a profit, you know, after business expenses from that self-employed income?
Well, since then, since the housing market dropped, I haven't shown much profit at all, because my business goes according to the real estate industry. And being that my wife is full-time employment with the state of Nevada, so she earns pretty good. But I haven't really contributed, so it's always been a loss on my side.
Okay, so the fact that you're showing a loss on your Schedule C means that you're not paying self-employment tax. So you're going to look at your work history, and they're going to line up all the years of earnings that you've had since you started working back when you were 10, 11, 12, 13, whatever it was. And they're going to index each of those years of earnings up until it was before today. You're 60 years old now. So they're going to inflation adjust those earnings. So the fact that you made, $5,000 in 1971, it's not going to show up as $5,000 in the calculation. It'll show up as some higher number because of inflation. And they're just going to line them up. And they're going to say, what are your best 35 years? If you have 35 years of earnings, they'll take those 35 years and do an average and come up with your Social Security benefit. If you don't have 35 years, they're still going to base it on 35 years. It's just that some of the years are going to have a zero, which brings down your average. And so the fact that you have not been paying into the system in the last several years may reduce your benefit in the fact that it reduces your history. Most people hit their higher earning years in their 50s and early 60s. Unfortunately, those were the years where you weren't making any money.
Right. Now, even though I do receive on an annual basis what my entitlement would be at whatever age I would retire, even though they specify.
Yeah, what they do is they take last year's earnings or the earnings from the last recorded year they have, and they project you earning that continually until you get to 62, 66, and 70 years of age, and then they work the calculation that way. If the last year on the books was a zero or a very low income number, they're not showing you earning a whole lot of money going forward, and so that expectation is fairly accurate. If for some reason you had a big year 2 years ago that's showing up on the books, and that's the number that they're using to project forward,
it's going to be higher.
It's going to overstate what your benefit will be. But if you've been zero or pretty much zero for the last 3, 4, 5 years, that benefit estimate that they're showing is going to be fairly accurate.
I see. Okay. My other question is, from my last employment in 2005, I had a 401k, and it's only about $11,000 in there, and I just left it with the company and just let it ride. Now, what would I be able to do, or what can I do? Because it's been there, I haven't touched it, haven't even paid any attention to it, but it's there. I get an annual report every year.
Right. You can leave it invested there. You can choose whatever options they have that they allow inside the 401k. You can change the investment option there.
Yes.
You can take, you're 60 years old now, so you can take it out and pay taxes on it and do whatever you want with it, spend it. Or you can transfer it to an IRA and then invest it however you want in the IRA. So if the options that are being offered in the 401k don't suit your purposes, you can roll it tax-free to a traditional IRA and invest it any way you want. But now that you're 60 years of age, you're over 59 and a half, you can take it out. It's just taxable. There's no penalty, but you can do. You can spend it. You can invest it. You can do whatever you want with it.
Okay. Now, IRA, they would have better, would have earnings on that money if I was to roll it over?
Depends on how you invest it. You have investment options. You have a limited number of investment options within your 401k. When I say limited, it doesn't mean that there's not something that you can use. You may have wonderful allocations to use. The IRA just has a lot more options to use.
Yeah. Hey, Sergio, I'm out of time for the hour. If you have some more questions, hold on. Professor Plum, we'll talk to you off the air here. We just got to scoot out of here. If you need the brain trust, I appreciate the call, Sergio. Great questions. If you need the brain trust off the air, you want to talk to Professor Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, their off-air number, 800-644-1150. For Professor Rick Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities LLC. In the information presented, because the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.